Welcome to Living Well, a special segment on Beaver County Radio, designed to help you enjoy the best, most fulfilling, and healthiest life possible. Dr. Joseph Maroon and Jeff Bost will cover informative topics and give you news that can make living well a reality for you. Living Well is presented by St. Barnabas and can be heard each week at this time right here on Beaver County Radio. Clinical information is provided for educational purposes and not as a medical or professional service. Always remember that the varying views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests on this radio show do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of St. Barnabas Health System, St. Barnabas Broadcasting, nor any organization the hosts may be affiliated with. And now, let's join Dr. Joseph Maroon and Jeff Bost for today's program.
Welcome to Living Well. My name is Jeff Bost. I'm a physician assistant in neurosurgery at UPMC and a consultant to St. Barnabas Health System. It's my great pleasure to reintroduce my co-host and colleague of over 35 years, renowned UPMC neurosurgeon, consultant to the Pittsburgh Steelers, world-ranked triathlon athlete, and also a consultant to St. Barnabas Health System, Dr. Joseph Maroon.
Hello, Jeff. Great to be with you again.
Well, great to have you, Dr. Maroon. It's a busy time of year. Spring has sprung a little bit, and people are more active, and it's nice to see a little bit of sunshine here occasionally in the Western Pennsylvania area. Today we have a special show, and this is another one of those shows that is based off of the headlines. And several weeks ago, the senator from Kentucky, Mitch McConnell, fell. And at that time, he was at the Waldorf Astoria, which is a hotel in New York. We both have been there. It's a beautiful hotel. But he fell either exiting or entering the hotel, and at that point he was hospitalized. Mm-hmm. And we learned from subsequent reports, we don't know, have any insights ourselves on this, but he was subsequently hospitalized for a head injury. And Dr. Maroon, as a neurosurgeon for many, many years, you've seen a whole spectrum of injury related to traumatic brain injury. As a matter of fact, I would say with emphasis that you're probably one of the world's experts in traumatic brain injury. What are some of the things that you've seen over the years as far as, you know, the mildest type head injury and the most severe that you've seen in your career?
Well, Jeff, thank you. And thinking about this, we're talking about traumatic brain injury, and the most common numbers are in the earlier age groups and in the elderly age groups. When I say earlier, I'm talking about car accidents, falls.
In children
are the most common cause of severe disability and even death in adolescents and in that younger age group. In the elderly, falls are a huge problem. And quite frankly, the most common cause of morbidity and mortality as well in those when I say elderly, 65 and older is usually what we're concerned with in terms of being older. And in that age group, there are 80,000 emergency visits each year in 65 and older, and 75% of these require hospitalization. So this age group has the highest rate of hospitalization and even deaths, up to 80,000 deaths per year from falls in the elderly.
So why is that part of our anatomy? I mean, when we think of falls, we often think of hips, especially in women with osteoporosis. But in fact, brain injury and head injury and traumatic brain injury is really a much more profound problem with falls. Why is falls and a severe head injury related?
Well, one of the things in the older age group, Jeff, due to cardiac conditions, high blood pressure, this sort of thing, many of the patients are on various types of anticoagulants, things like Eliquis, warfarin, and blood thinners, even aspirin. And when one, in an elderly patient, the brain is somewhat smaller, shrinks, atrophic as we get older. So there's more space in the intracranial compartment inside your head. And when there's a fall, shearing can occur of blood vessels that bridge from the brain to the surface of the brain. And these can bleed and cause what's called a subdural hematoma, or if there's a fracture, even an epidural hematoma, I mean above the brain. And these can be actually fatal, if not long-term debilitating. And so the brain is much more susceptible in the elderly to traumatic brain injury.
And it's sort of, you know, I've always heard it, and we've discussed it with lay people over the years, sort of like jello inside a box that's full of sharp edges. And so as someone falls and the box stops, the jello keeps on going. And I think that's probably one of the things that we see a lot, is that the trauma occurs on the sharp edges and other hard surfaces inside the skull, and it really can cause problems, especially, as you mentioned, the older brain. A lot of other factors go into falls. Not everybody who is older falls, but it's certainly something that, you know, as I mentioned earlier, hips is a common result of a fall. But the brain, I think, is uniquely, in hitting the head, is unique in the sense, as we get older, the reflexes to put our hands out and block our fall are diminished, meaning our reaction time as we start to topple. And I think about a baby. I'm very fortunate right now to have a grandchild running around in my life, and she falls all the time. And yet she does not get injured. Obviously, the fall's not as far, but the type of injury from a, let's say, a 5 to 6 foot height to the ground, if you don't put your hands out, you're going to hit your head. And I think that's one of the things that we see, that reflexes are diminished, and obviously balance and other factors come into play, which we'll discuss in a little bit. As Dr. Maroon mentioned, falls statistically are on the rise as our population gets older. More and more older people, therefore more and more falls. About 1 in 4 Americans, the age 65 or older, fall each year. So, Dr. Maroon, you and I have been involved in healthcare for a long time. Probably over the last 20 years or maybe 15 years, there was a new question introduced to our routine. Have you fallen since I've last seen you? And I think that's really something that we often ask. Certainly, our PCPs often ask, but it's certainly a harbinger of things that are bad, perhaps coming along, if someone has admitted to that. What is the implication of someone who has fallen mean to you when you hear that?
Well, Jeff, relative to brain injury, and I mentioned earlier subdural hematomas or blood clots within the skull and upon the brain, these can be very delayed. It can be up to a month or even longer before the symptoms finally are noticed, from gradual slow compression of the brain. And then the compliance curve, at some point, the straw that broke the camel's back, the patients become symptomatic and complain of headache, nausea, difficulty sleeping, lights affecting their vision, and as you mentioned, instability. One of the most common causes I hear from my older patients is that I'm more unsteady on my feet. When I get up quickly, I'm temporarily dizzy and subject to imbalance and falls. So all of these complaints are related, really, to aging, and to the effects that our brain has on our mobility, our agility, and our balance. And when that's off, the slightest provocation can lead to a fall, and that's where the hips, the ankles, the clavicles, and the brains get injured.
Well, I think this show is called Living Well, and we have advocated all the different ways to try to prevent or improve those things. Of course, if you're sedentary and not walking a lot, the ability of those muscles to control and help add the balance worsen. And so an active lifestyle that you can maintain, at least in my opinion, and Dr. Maroon, I'll ask your opinion, I think would certainly provide some relief We know that conditions like diabetes can cause neuropathy or numbness of the feet, and that can lead into these things. But if you don't have that, certainly improving the muscles, I think, would help that.
There's no question about it, Jeff. You know, we've talked on this show many times about the four pillars of good health. And number one, the appropriate diet. Number two, exercise or physical activity. Number three, eliminating toxins in our daily life, smoking, alcohol, drugs, recreational drugs, as well as other types of medicinal drugs that may have significant side effects, particularly in the elderly, and also controlling stress. And lastly, but not leastly at all, getting enough sleep. So all of these things contribute daily to a peak performance, so to speak, that we all should strive for. And if these pillars are not adhered to, deterioration occurs faster in the body and in the brain and can lead to all sorts of things like you just mentioned.
Right. And I think that's important to know that we can do things. That five or the four pillars, including sleep, can help. At St. Barnabas, for example, we have screened people for fall risk, looking for orthostasis, where someone gets up quickly and they feel lightheaded. How to check for that? By checking your blood pressure, sitting and standing, and looking for loose carpets in different living areas, and checking for footwear and vision, making sure someone has good vision. If you don't have proprioception and you can't you can't see well, that can also add to fall risk. So these are things that I think as we get older, there are interventions and things that can be done, and a fall is not just I'm old and I'm going to fall, because there are serious consequences, especially to the brain. And as we saw with the senator, he'd spent 6 days in the hospital and now is in rehab. So it's a profound impact on our life, including death. Over 80,000 people, elderly people, die on an annual basis due to having a traumatic head injury, often just related to a fall. So it's a serious consequence that goes on with falls, especially as we get older. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the changes within the brain as we get older that, as you said, Dr. Nguyen, can make us more susceptible to that, but also more susceptible to slower healing after our brain is injured. Why are we not recovering quite as fast as we did before, and why those injuries can lead to some serious problems. So we'll be back here shortly to talk more with Dr. Maroon on traumatic brain injury.
Of the many things that make St. Barnabas Health System apart from the ordinary is an appreciation for their employees, an act that does not go unnoticed. Let's learn more about what this means from one of their employees.
Hi, my name is Susan Elateri. I'm a registered nurse at St. Barnabas. Our team is responsible for the excellent care of our residents. Tending to their specific needs is very important. We pursue compassionate care, hard work, and kindness, and it is an extremely rewarding career, and I'm very grateful to have nursing as a career. It's extremely rewarding. We can acknowledge the goodness in our life, and I do believe that.
Find out about the exceptional career opportunities St. Barnabas has to offer by visiting stbarnabashealthsystem.com/careers for more information, or by calling 724-444-JOBS. That's 724-444-5627. Find out why St. Barnabas is apart from the ordinary.
Now back to Living Well with Dr. Joseph Maroon and Jeff Bost.
Welcome back to Living Well. Again, my name is Jeff Bost, and I'm here with neurosurgeon and wellness expert Dr. Joseph Maroon. Living Well is sponsored by St. Barnabas Health System. St. Barnabas has retirement communities throughout Western Pennsylvania that focus on wellness at any age. Dr. Maroon, we're back, and not only does St. Barnabas focus on wellness, it certainly focuses on prevention of falls, as we discussed in the first half of the show. Falls, especially in senior facilities, is one of the biggest risk factors that we're concerned about. And it's you can fall, but the question is, are you going to heal from it? And how the brain, as we get older, may not be able to heal quite as rapidly as the younger brain. And Dr. Maroon, what are some of the chemical changes that go on in the brain as we age?
Well, as we mentioned earlier, Jeff, the brain over time does atrophy, does shrink, and like everything from mountains to cars, there's entropy, gradually deterioration, but we can slow it, but never completely obviate it. And some of the things in the brain that occurs are in the neurotransmitters, those chemicals that are operant between the synapses or the connections of the neurons, which are the transistors, so to speak, in our brain. And there are various neurochemicals. One, serotonin, which is a chemical frequently associated with antidepressants in terms of mood modulation, adrenaline, and also acetylcholine, which can be affected in memory. The drugs for Alzheimer's disease purportedly increase acetylcholine production and helps enhance decrease memory impairment. So all of these neurochemicals become less effective due to the wearing out of the synapses as well as the neurons. And associated with that come symptoms like sensory impairment. The vision becomes diminished. Vestibular, our balance system, can be just off a little bit. It doesn't take much for a fall. And associated with that sometimes is depression, particularly in the elderly, and movement disorders. And then, again, these same transmitters are necessary at the muscle junction in every muscle in our body. And there can be some weakness and atrophy of the muscle. So all of this is intertwined and leads to what we're talking about today, balance issues and subsequent falls, and sometimes the catastrophic effects of these in terms of the brain and the musculoskeletal system with fractures and dislocations.
And as you said earlier, medications can play a role as far as the severity of having fallen, whether it's blood thinners, and also medicines can set you up for a risk for falls. For example, if you're on a lowering blood sugar medication that you take too much and your blood sugar drops, you can fall, literally pass out. Certain antihypertensive blood pressure medications, if you're taking those in excess, will also cause lightheadedness and falls, and also contribute to what I described earlier as orthostasis, where you have one blood pressure when you're sitting or lying, and then it changes and drops when you stand, which is an immediate effect that you can just literally pass out when you stand up. So all of these things, you know, if you need the medications, they're life-saving, you know, you need them. However, oftentimes you can talk to your doctor. If you stand up and you feel woozy or lightheaded, you know, can they change the amount of medications you're taking? And I think that's a consideration, certainly, to give your doctor feedback. We talked earlier a little bit about prevention with strengthening our muscles. Another thing that we can do is look at, you said, vision correction. You know, is our vision off? And also, big thing is, and I hate to admit, is footwear. If you're wearing slippers that slip on your feet, I think by definition, you're going to slip. So the idea of footwear can be a problem. And also where you walk. I don't know, as we were discussing earlier, where the senator was. He was in the hustle bustle of New York. Whether that contributed to it, no one knows. But whether you walk on uneven surfaces, or do you have a handrail next to you? Are you walking up and down stairs? Stairs are probably the most deadly as far as falls. Not only do you fall down, but you fall down the stairs versus falling on a flat area. So it can be very severe with stair falling. And all of these things can add up to more likelihood of having a brain injury. So the idea of a single level home, if possible, or double sided rails, all of these things can help. So fall risk and head injury are really something that people need to take seriously, and really is the reason for discussing this today. You know, unfortunately, the senator is the example. However, falls are really a problem. Dr. Moon, you mentioned earlier that the idea of falls and certain medications, one of the things that we prescribed in our practice over many, many years is pain medicine. And how do you think, or how does that contribute to what we're talking about today as far as fall risk?
Well, Jeff, going back just a bit, I want to emphasize that in the patients that I see who are in the elderly age group, each patients over 65 on average are on any place from 4 to 7 prescription drugs.
Wow.
Prescription medications. Just think about that. 4 to 7 prescription medications. And it's really, these can, what's amazing to me is with pharmaceutical agents, it's one size fits all, which is not the case.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same dosage of medication, whether you're 400 pounds or 50 pounds or 90 pounds, so that the metabolism is going to be different in everybody for these various medications. So that the side effect, even if you're taking the correct, in quotes, dose, there can be very substantial problems with that.
Well, genetically, too, where our metabolism is differently for SNPs and other things that can cause our different breakdown of drugs also play. Whether, in addition to that, whether we have stomach acid or not. Stomach acid, everybody's on anti-stomach acid medications, and that changes the digestion and breakdown of medications through the stomach. So the idea of medications playing a significant role in your fall risk is something definitely to consider and discuss with your doctor.
Yep, no question about it, Jeff. And we have to be our own advocates in the healthcare system that we're now living in. You really must be proactive in your own healthcare awareness. Check the, you know, go online about the medications you're on. Look at the side effects. Oftentimes, they're really not discussed in any great detail in the hustle and bustle of the way medicine needs to or is practiced today.
Right. Well, I think there's definitely the bad five or the top five medicines that are really, we discussed diabetes medication, we discussed blood pressure, but there are specific medications that we in our practice often use that cause problems. Obviously, pain medication, they alter sensorium, alter your cognitive thoughts, and certainly are fall risk. But benzodiazepam, those are like Ativan and Valium, Xanax, they're used oftentimes for anxiety and help people sleep, but if you take it, you may impair your balance. There's other medicines that are very commonly known to have fall risk, and those are sleeping pills. If you take a sleeping pill, it's going to help put you to sleep. However, at 2 in the morning, you're going to have to go to the bathroom. If you have a sleeping pill on board, there's a greater risk of falling. And there's also the hangover effect of sleeping medicine. You know, we want to wake up at 8 or 9 or 10 in the morning, and yet the medicine is still in your system up to 11 or 12 that same morning and puts you at higher risk for falls. Antipsychotic medications and medicines are often prescribed for people with dementia or Alzheimer's or depression. These also can increase fall risk. And also anticonvulsants like Neurontin, commonly used paradoxically for people with nerve problems in their feet and hands, is another risk factor for causing balance disorder. So these are things that I'm not saying, and neither of us are saying to stop these medications, but these medications have significant fall risk that may play into your fall, and it should be certainly discussed with your physician. Dr. Mooner, any other medicines that you're thinking of in your head as I roll through that list? Those are the five that popped into mind as far as why people should be concerned about them.
Well, Jeff, I think the psychotropic drugs in particular, so many elderly are taking Ambien or Xanax or SSRIs, the serotonin selective reuptake inhibitor for depression, which is now epidemic, again, at both ends of the spectrum. It's amazing how many kids are on antidepressants and mood regulators, and the same with adults. We have a very
mental health issue, no doubt. There's no doubt that the pandemic added to that, and I'm sure they've exploded over the last several years with the recognition of the problems, but they do have side effects. and complications. Yeah. So, Dr. Broom, we have a few minutes left. I'd like to talk, unfortunately, it's sort of like the bad news at the end of the tunnel, but traumatic brain injury, not always lethal. People definitely survive and flourish and thrive after having a head injury. However, statistically, research now tells us that having had a previous TBI or traumatic brain injury increases your risk for dementia and Alzheimer's disease. And this is an interesting subject, certainly a sad subject in the sense that if it occurs, which it is reported to do, but it's what would be the pathology or associated with that phenomena as far as TBI or traumatic brain injury increasing our risk for dementia and Alzheimer's disease?
Well, Jeff, we have to be careful. You know, a mild bump on the head or a concussion that clears quickly, I would not put that in the fear category for developing Alzheimer's disease. The studies that have correlated it, not causation, but correlation, are in those patients who have had pretty severe traumatic brain injuries, perhaps with loss of consciousness or abnormalities on the MRI or the CAT scan that may have significant deleterious effect on brain function. And in the neuropathological aspect of the formation of the sticky amyloid plaque,
Of Alzheimer's.
Angles of Alzheimer's disease.
Right.
Yeah. So the trauma, significant trauma, can cause some degenerative changes in the brain.
And it goes back to the idea of reserve, too. The older brain may not have the reserve. And so previous injuries, traumatic brain injuries, especially occurring when we're older, may accelerate a problem that's already going on.
Correct. But so it's, everything is balanced. Everything needs to be taken and put in perspective. The mild bump on the head, the mild concussion is not going to lead to Alzheimer's disease. And serious traumatic brain injuries, not only Alzheimer's disease, but can lead to what's called the post-concussion syndrome, where there's prolonged memory impairment, photophobia, sensitivity to lights, difficulty processing information. And, you know, we have the largest concussion clinic in the country at UPMC with Mickey Collins and Anthony Kontos as the directors there, where they see 7,000 new patients a year with concussions from traumatic brain injury. You know, it's huge. And the majority of these get better, but there are strategies for those who don't, including hyperbaric oxygen therapy that we've recently written about.
Right. So it's a matter of degrees as far as injury and what's the underlying brain function and so on. So there's a lot of parts to this puzzle. But I think that no one wants to have a traumatic brain injury. And as we talk, getting older puts you at higher risk. So follow the four pillars that Dr. Maroon described. And we're going to wrap it up today. Thank you, Dr. Maroon, as always, for your contribution and talking about traumatic brain injury. We'll be back next week for another interesting show on Living Well.
It's been stated before that working at St. Barnabas is compassionate work with excellent career opportunities. In addition, we've heard when you enjoy what you're doing every day, it's not work. But don't take my word for it. Let's listen in to what motivates their employees.
Hello, my name is Emily Tahansky, and I love to be able to help others and knowing that I make a difference in a person's life.
Find out about the exceptional career opportunities St. Barnabas has to offer by visiting stbarnabashealthsystem.com/careers for more information or by calling 724-444-JOBS. That's 724-444-5627. Find out why St. Barnabas is apart from the ordinary.
Thanks for listening to Living Well, a special segment on Beaver County Radio designed to help you enjoy the best, most fulfilling, and healthiest life possible. Archived podcasts of this episode are available on the St. Barnabas Radio Network streaming app. Living Well with Dr. Joseph Maroon and Jeff Bost is presented by St. Barnabas. Clinical information was provided for educational purposes, not as a medical or professional service. Always remember that the varying views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests on this radio show do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of St. Barnabas Health System, St. Barnabas Broadcasting, nor any organization the hosts may be affiliated with. Tune in next Friday at 12:30 for another insightful edition of Living Well, right here on WBBP Beaver Falls and WMBA Ambridge, along with 99.3 FM and 95.7 FM.